This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
I'm excited when folks on my team told me that we had this brother coming in this week in the midst of all of this, particularly given some of the stuff he was writing and talking about coming into this election. I was just very, very excited to welcome Baratunde Thurston to the podcast. Now, just so you know how this brother is cred, the Emmy-nominated host, right? He's worked for The Onion, which I love. And you can see you still got some of that onion in you. I can tell by the way you write, brother. Produced for The Daily Show, advised the Obama White House, and wrote the New York Times bestseller, How to Be Black. If you haven't read it, get it, read it. He's the executive producer and host of two podcasts, How to Citizen with Baratunde and We're Having a Moment, which CNET called the most important podcast of 2020. So you need to share some tips with this brother so we can get in that lane. But right now, he's doing his writing thing, his activist thing, his comedian thing for sure. But he's using his voice, folks, to help people understand this revolutionary moment. And it is. And we want to talk about that. So welcome, Baratunde. So good to have you, man. Well, you have, leading into this election, put out some very interesting, thought-provoking, insightful pieces that range from the conversation about empathy for white folks who support Trump to guns. And I want to get in that because it is amazing how these things have kind of married up in this moment, in this post-election moment, where some white folks out there are now looking at this election through the lens of fraud because they're not winning. And then you've got some others that are now popping up at, vote counting locations, in a threatening manner. How, before we get into some of the deeper side of the election, just top line, how are you reading the response of the country to what's unfolding right now? From the black community to the white community and all the elements that are kind of making up what we're hearing on the street.
I think many of us have been waiting to exhale for years to get out of a space of constant cacophony and chaos into something a little more sound and sane. And we're approaching that moment as you and I speak right now. And there will still be cacophony and there will still be chaos, but it will not rain freely from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and that is an improvement. So I'm feeling that, and I know a lot of other people are feeling that. I'm hurting still from the narrowness of this, and tens of millions of my fellow Americans co-signing on a level of ugliness and dehumanization, just basic indecency, that feels bad. And I am not surprised by it, but like any parent with a child that's performed badly, I'm disappointed. Right. Disappointed in a big part of us, because it's us, and it's like, okay, that's family. That's very sad to see. I do have an idea for the Trump supporters who are at this moment chanting stop the count in right. certain parts of this nation and count the votes in other parts. And I donate this idea freely. I want someone to get a Jumbotron and some big speakers and just take live video of the stop the count Trump protesters and put it in the faces of the count the vote Trump protesters.
I saw your tweet on that.
And vice versa. I want them to just slowly stop the count. Wait, but they're MAGA and we're, and just something snaps like
right.
connects in their minds to just breathe. The ability to claim legitimacy is something we've been fighting for from day one in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Who's a human being? Who counts? Who gets to work? Who gets to go to school?
Right.
Who gets quality food? And so again, we are in a long tradition of challenging the humanity and the legitimacy of a certain part of this nation. But at the end of the day, the wrath of the math is irrefutable and undeniable. And millions more people voted to end this era and move forward than did not. And in the states that matter, thanks to our 17th century way of selecting a president, that math is true as well.
Well, so, it's interesting because you talk about the people who voted for going in a different direction, you know, and that number is roughly some 78 million Americans
yeah.
did that. But you also have 69 million Americans, almost 70 million Americans who voted for something very different. And part of what I've been saying the last few days in looking at some of the numbers and particularly listening to a lot of the rhetoric is trying to tap into that psychology and understanding, you know, because there gets to a point where I just like, okay, I'm not, and you kind of touched on this in your piece, empathy isn't a favor I owe white Trump voters. It has to go both ways. Because at a certain point, I'm like, okay, yeah, so you're pissed. So what?
Yeah.
Gee, we've been pissed for 401 years. Ain't nobody pay attention to us. I mean, so there's a point where I get to where I'm like, okay, I really understand. I'm trying to do the Clinton thing. I feel your pain. When I was RNC chairman, one of the things I stressed and we had success with was there's a whole group of people in the country no one's paying attention to, and we have to pay attention to them, right? And I got that. But when do you reach that point where that sympathy and understanding and trying to, you know, coax and bring along and gender empathy, when do you get to that point where you go, you know what, okay, I'm about to smack the shit out of your ass if you don't understand, if you don't set up. Because that's that moment yeah. a parent has with a child where you try to be the good thing, you try to, okay, baby, okay. But then, you know, your mama gets to a point where she's like, you know, you're now my last nerve. And you got about 3 more seconds to continue this whining and crying.
Yeah.
Because you say in here, and this is why I wanted to connect it. You say at one point, the pain liberals are feeling today is similar to the pain Mitt Romney's voters felt 4 years ago. I remember people crying over Romney's loss, and I remember laughing at their tears. Now I'm the one crying just thinking what I would give for a binder filled with qualified women or a car elevator or a corny-ass Ned Flanders sound-alike who serves someone other than himself. So you kind of set up I kind of get it. I understand it. But do you reach a point where you go, you know what?
Yeah, one, and the piece you're quoting from, you know, I wrote almost exactly 4 years ago. That was after
right.
Trump's win, his only win, and one term president, hashtag. So that was part of my struggle at the time, and it was part of my fire, which still resides. And you touched on, like, who gets to be mad? Who gets right. to show how they really feel? And a lot of what's been demanded is, We gotta go find the 5 coal miners of America and put a microphone in their faces and hear their struggle. And it's like, okay, there's a lot of people's struggles we're not hearing.
Right.
You know, and we've seen since in the 4 years of this past executive, more struggles have been foisted upon us in terms of kidnapping children and destroying the paperwork. We don't hear from those kids.
Right.
They don't get a voice in this. So I'm angry. You know, I carry that anger still. And I have two thoughts. They're not opposed, but they're both strong. One is we address this disconnect by winning. And yeah. People follow power. You know, you mm-hmm. look at your party in 2014, 2015. I mean, you were there more than I was, but that whole diagnostic, that whole Republican come to Jesus.
Oh, yeah, after yeah, a, yeah.
The autopsy. It had a name. I can't remember.
The autopsy.
The autopsy, right? Because yeah. you were dead. Right. And you thought the way back to life was to adjust at least the message,
right.
at least superficially hide some of those more embarrassing exclusionary parts. And I read that report. I was like, mm-hmm. let me see what the Republican Party's at. Oh, this is it. They think they need comprehensive immigration reform. But, and then another path presented itself.
And they took it.
A darker path to power, and a xenophobic path to power, a misogynistic path to power, a violent path to power. And it worked. And Donald Trump offered that path. And in the beginning, Republicans resisted. They tried. There were people that wrote the op-eds and the Nation, not the Nation, the National Review people, mm-hmm. you know, folks came out. The intellectual wing came out. Mm-hmm. People like you came. But it was an attract. Power is attractive. It's a giant mass, and it has its own gravity. And the party fell to that gravity.
Black hole. It's like a black hole.
And the people who stood up for individual rights and freedom and dignity, they collapsed. Lindsey Graham collapsed. Ted Cruz, he called his wife ugly and his daddy a killer.
I know.
And he just collapsed.
And he collapsed.
And Fox News, you know, so that is attractive. And it's not as, I know it's not as simple as, well, there's 69, 70 million super active racists who want to slaughter all black and brown people. Like, the hate's not that deep.
It's not, you know, that deep, right.
But the power is that attractive.
Right.
And so what you do is you win by shifting the center of gravity, by shifting mass. So that's one part.
Yeah. Okay. But second part, yeah.
And then the other part, there's, I'm breathing and I'm struggling with this because I do this podcast, How to Citizen with Baratunde, and mm-hmm. I'll give you like a little bit of an exclusive on the last episode. We talk with Esther Perel, who's a relationship therapist, and mostly in intimate relationships, you know, couples. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of parallels with feelings of betrayal, distrust, abuse, mm-hmm. and investment in the relationship. And I believe that to citizen means we have to be in relationship to each other. So just excising the unattractive parts of the body politic are not sustainable.
Right.
Not half, you know what I mean?
Right.
Fringe,
right.
Violent, fringe. Yeah, some people need to be subdued, locked right. up, withheld from public space because they are a threat and a danger to us all. But 70 million is a bit too many.
It's a little bit much.
Yeah, so then we have to decide what is worth engaging with mm-hmm. at an individual level in your family, in your workplace, in your household. And what are the common pieces that we agree with? And how do we build on that? Where do we hold the line and say, no, that is unacceptable. We won't do that. And we take it a step at a time. We are still in a volatile situation. There's so many guns in this country. There's so much disinformation. This is not over. We're still in a very precarious place. And I want to be careful, consciously careful mm-hmm. about using my own voice to stoke more of anything that approaches violence and that kind of destructive right. disagreement, while also holding the line on my own sense of dignity and morality and not just being like, well, what do you want, Mr. White Supremacist? Like,
right.
we're not in those days anymore. No,
we're not.
No, sir. So it's very nuanced, Michael. It's not simple. But I do think what is important is that we try to listen to everybody,
right,
that we focus on the things that we all want and have in common and build on that, that we draw lines and banish certain types of conversation that are just flat out false and very dangerous and very violent. That's not good. And that we grow up and grow out of this. We're We're trying to live in a new America. We're struggling to. We're dragging. We're being dragged, kicking and screaming toward democracy, kicking
right.
and screaming.
Right.
And we're on this edge, and none of this is guaranteed.
Thanks for listening to this quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Now, we'll be back with a full show soon. But in the meantime, you can go to Apple Podcasts, review us, give us 5 stars. Yes, we like the 5-star rating. Or you can listen on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast on. Catch you later, folks.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.